Thank you so much. What a good looking group this morning. Amen. You too, Mr. Jones. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm delighted to be here at Pine Hill Baptist Church. Brother Kerry had asked me to fill in for him one time. We were trying to figure, it's been a little over 2 years ago, early spring of 22, I guess it was, and I was amazed. I met all these wonderful people at Pine Hill Baptist. They'd come up, they'd introduce themselves and whatever, and hello, I'm Mr. Lee, and nice to see you. And another lady'd come up and she'd say, I'm Mrs. Lee, and nice to see you. After about 50 people like that, this nice looking young couple came up to me on the porch out front, and he said, my name is Jason. Give me the last name. Jason Wilder. And I said, well, thank the Lord you're not a Lee. And he said, I married a Lee. So I just gave up. Well, that day we went out for a church-wide dinner out at the Lee's place, Wesley Lee's place. What a nice young man he is. He's garnered some more gray hair in those 2 years. We do appreciate you leading the music. The choir was fabulous today in Beulah Land. I thought, you don't get any better in Beulah Land, one of my favorites. And then we sang Victory in Jesus, and I cried a little bit. So Patty's down here thinking I'm a psychotic person or something. But we were out at their home place. Have you ever been out there? Well, every Monday they have a different church family for dinner, so get on the list. So I'm there just gawking and looking around, and Mr. Wesley came up to me and he said, would you like a tour? And like the third grader I sometimes am, I said, would I? And we got in his mule or four-wheeler or whatever it was, and he took me on a tour. I was just awestruck. It is so gorgeous. I didn't know there was a place that pretty in Georgia since I lived, you know, across the line in Florida. That was a joke, y'all. I'm with Brother KD. Y'all just need to kind of lighten up for a minute. But we're just honored. My wife Kay and I are honored and privileged to be here with you all on homecoming. What number homecoming is it? You got to start keeping better records around here, folks.
That was over 76.
How would you know that? He was born in the bed babies. They didn't make it to the hospital. But we are honored to be here. This is a special day, homecoming. And so the story was told me earlier that some of the church leaders, I think Mr. Jones and Mr. Hartman and probably two or three Mr. Lees, got together and they said, homecoming, we've got to get us a really, really special person to come and preach at homecoming. Well, who should we get, they ask. They said, well, let's ask the finest preacher we've ever heard. Well, they went off and asked him, and he said, no. So they said, let's ask the smartest preacher we've ever met. And they asked him, and he said, no. They didn't know what to do. So they said, let's ask the nicest looking preacher we've ever known. They asked him, and he said, no. One of them, I don't know which one of them was, said, do you remember that Brother Rich from down at Tallahassee that Brother Kerry had fill in for him when he wasn't here that Sunday back in 2022? Let's ask him. So they came to me, and they asked me. I said yes, but what could I say? I'd already told them no 3 times. Well, Brother KD, I could tell you about Brother KD, some things you wouldn't want to know, but I love them dearly, and Patty, they are sweet and precious people. You are indeed fortunate to have them as your pastor. I knew your former pastor, Dr. Parker, from over at the college. He's quite phenomenal, the young man that he is. Very humble, very sweet, great, great, great servant, one who sacrifices, you know, and loves the Lord. Well, Brother Kerry was one of my students. Can you believe that I'd be old enough to be his professor? In all candor, he's an excellent student, just excelled.
Brilliant.
in every way. So we appreciate Brother Carey. You're indeed blessed to have him as your pastor. And you've got to believe and know. And you say, "Oh, we didn't hear that from you about education." When somebody responds to the call of ministry, let's say he's in his 50s, and just for illustrative purposes, let's say he's a physician's assistant high up in the medical field, and he sells out. He didn't quit. He'll still speak to you about medical things if you need his help, I'm sure, but he went back to school to prepare to be the best minister and the best pastor he could ever be. Now, let me tell you what, that's a sacrifice. Sacrifice for Patty, too. So they paid that price in education, and I just hope you just blow the top off on May 10 when he graduates with his doctorate from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. What a great, great accomplishment. His greatest joy after his grandkids is being your pastor. Well, after being married to Patty. I'm getting into trouble. So let's go ahead and let's look at our scripture for today. It's a great passage of scripture. Go with me back to 851 BC and the ministry of Elisha, the great prophet of God, who followed Elijah. Elijah, you remember, went up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw him and got his wish, his prayer, a double portion of Elijah's spirit. This was a time of great apostasy or falling away in the land. Elisha was a great leader, a great prophet. He was meek, he was gentle, and God used him. I don't know how many. I didn't do the count. I'm sorry. How many miracles are recorded in the scripture during his ministry? The answer to that would be many. He was a prophet of miraculous workings for the Lord. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, you know this story. It's a great story. I want us to look at it a little differently today, perhaps, than you have ever heard. Obadiah died. 1 Kings said he was high up in the court of bad King Ahab. And then you remember Jezebel. Everybody say, boo! Jezebel was going around killing God's prophets. Obadiah, who loved the Lord, this is in 1 Kings chapter 18, at one place, at one time, took 100 of the prophets of God and hid them away and fed them and cared for them because Jezebel was out to kill them. Let me scroll ahead if you'll allow me. We're looking at Obadiah's widow. He has passed, and she is there with her two sons. Look at the passage of scripture with me, if you will, in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm reading from the King James version of the scripture. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. He said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." Now, I don't know what you do. When I'm reading the scripture, I do kind of one of those, like, I am there. I place myself in the passage of scripture, and I visualize what it might have been like. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're not perfect. You probably visualize some things that weren't there, or should have been there." Now, y'all be nice to me today. I'm just going to do that, and I want you to do it too. You're there. You're going to be a witness to this miracle. Are you ready? Verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now I'm of a mind, if you get with me later and say, give me scripture and verse, we'd have to sit down and do kind of a Bible drill, because there are many related scriptures to what I'm going to say. I believe, well, we know that if you repent, if you turn away from, means to have a change of mind, change of your heart. You repent, you turn away from sin and self, and turn to faith in God and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are saved. This is the smart section here. You are saved. You are born again. Once you're saved, you are always saved. You can't be a Christian and not be a Christian. It's just impossible. Once the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you by faith, this is Jesus who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's the testimony of the widow in 2 Kings. She was a recipient of God's abundance. This is starting to sound pretty familiar, like a story right out of Pine Hill Baptist. Think of your life. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've been born again. This is the philosophy I mentioned to you a moment ago. You're not going to get me to not believe it. I believe that everyone who's been genuinely saved, well, maybe that person's not saved. Don't be a judge. Who made you the judge? If you're genuinely saved, you become a Christian, you've turned from your sin, you're saved forever. God implants into you his spirit, his attitude, his desire to serve him forever. I know there are people who are backslidden, that's a good Baptist word, backslidden and aren't following after the Lord Jesus presently. But if they got saved, they're just as saved as you. They're just as saved as me. Ooh, I'm not going to be popular. We don't preach for popularity. We preach, and we learned this in seminary, we preach for life change. Only God can change a life. But here's the deal. Follow this. Everyone who's been genuinely saved, they've planted in their heart is a desire to serve the Lord, whoever they are. There's about 500 or 600 here today. All the people who are here, God has planted that in your heart. And more than anything, you want to be faithful to serve the Lord. Some are more faithful than others. But God has given you a heart for service and following him. Now, back to our widow. The widow, the scripture says, also loved the Lord. God cared for her. She wanted to do everything she could to serve him. But alas, she had some bills. Obadiah was gone, and she had some bills to pay the creditors. To the point, the scripture says, if she didn't pay up, they were going to take her boys from her. Can you imagine? Come on, you're walking in this scripture with me. How awful that would be. Well, the prophet of God, Elisha, came by, and she called upon him to help her. She just told the story. My husband's dead. He was a great servant of God. And now the creditors are coming to take my sons. And Elisha stepped in with God's provision, just like he does for you. Are you finding yourself in 2 Kings today? Just like he's always provided for you and will always provide for you. My God shall supply all my needs. I'm telling you this, the Bible people all sat right here today. My God shall supply all your needs. So let's look at this. You're a servant of God. God's supplying your needs. You're a member of of Pine Hill Baptist Church. If you're here today and you've not given your life to Christ, in a moment when our pastor comes, you're going to be able to pray and give your life to Christ. If you're here today and you're not a member of Pine Hill Baptist Church, is this your fortunate day? God blessing you. You can come during invitation time and unite with the church and join the church and be a member of this church with all the rest of the Lees. That was a joke. That was a joke. I love the Lees, or I wouldn't say that. And if you're not a Lee, don't worry about it. God loves you as much as he loves any of the Lees. Y'all are too much fun. Y'all are just too much fun. Well, let's close. What can I bring to God? I'm a servant of the Lord. I love Jesus. Anything I can do, what can I do? Let's look at the widow. Here's what she brought. She brought what she had. You can bring what you have. And you know what you have? If you sat down and made a list, it is long. Your list is long. She said she had a pot of oil. What do you have? Well, if you spend some time thinking about it, it would amaze you. I read a true story about an elderly gentleman who had retired after a career with the post office. He was sitting on his front porch and his Social Security check arrived. Y'all are too young, you don't know what that is. But he was sitting there and he took that check and he thought, is this what life's all about? Am I going to work for the post office, retire, and then just sit on my porch and receive a check once a month? So he did what I've encouraged you to do. He made a list. He had a lot of things on his list of what he had. Our first point, you offer to God what you have. You know what he had on his list? It sounds a little odd, but he had his mother's fried chicken recipe. Nobody else had it. It was wonderful. Did anybody bring fried chicken for today? Oh, yeah, fried chicken. It was so good, he went to a local restaurant. And he said, could I cook for you all? Well, he cooked the chicken. The people loved it. It was the number one thing on the menu. You know what he did? He branched out. He bought a restaurant and cooked that chicken. And then he bought another restaurant and another restaurant and another restaurant. And some years later, Colonel Harlan Sanders sold out from Kentucky Fried Chicken, retired a second time. Of course, the truth be known, and I'll give you the inside story. He retired, but they made him a public relations man. Do you ever remember seeing him in the white suit? Do you? Are y'all old enough to remember that? He worked until he died for Kentucky Fried Chicken at $250,000 a year. Not a bad retirement. But the point is, he gave something that he had. You have a lot to give. Verses 1 and 2, we learn about the pot of oil. Now look in verse 3. Verse 3 said, go borrow the vessels above all, around all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow a bunch. Now that's my vernacular. That's the way we say it down in the deep south. Borrow a bunch of vessels or pots. And she did. So our second point, bring what's available. What is available for you to offer to God? So she brought these, got these pots together. And she had her boys get them and got a lot. Now, sometimes we think too small. I don't know how many vessels she gathered together. Well, we did say that. A bunch. Sometimes we think small. Think of all the scriptural examples of this fact. When you take what you have and give it to God, how it becomes much. God used two weak and aged, childless senior adults to be the source from whom an entire nation would spring. And they were, I told you, right over here, Abraham and Sarah. He used a little boy sold into slavery by his jealous brothers to rule the nation of Egypt and eventually provide a food source for the Hebrew people. And that was? Who was it? Are you sure? It was. It was Joseph. God made a shepherd boy into Israel's greatest king. David. I had to have the preacher's wife's help here. I bring her to prompt me in my preaching too. David. Sometimes we think too small. These were people who were, can I say, nobodies? He used a skimpy lunch of another boy to feed 5,000 men. I know you're going to tell me later, well, wasn't it 12 to 15,000 counting the women and children? Probably. You're very astute. On a hillside near the Sea of Galilee, and to teach all mankind that Jesus is the bread of life. He is your provision. He is your provider. He is the source of all good things, the book of James tells us. We rejoice in that. He used 12 uneducated men to turn the world upside down, the disciples. I love it in the history of the early church in the book of Acts, where it says those men did that. What'd they do? They turned their world upside down. Just think, a group this large in Pine Hill Baptist Church, as we acknowledge God's provision and we look for miracles, we bring what we have to God, your pot of oil, what is that? Your vessels for God to bless. What are those? God will use you. We usually think too small. We're usually one jar Christians. You know, one jar. Elijah said, get a lot of jars. You don't know what you're fixing to see. Bring a lot of jars. God has given us his spirit, our giftedness, our abilities, our talents, our personalities, all of those things that we need to bring. More on that in just a second. We need to bring to God, what do you have that's available? Well, thirdly and lastly, and maybe most importantly as we finish our story, you bring what is empty. Isn't it interesting that they went to get these jars, these vessels, as the King James Version calls them, and they all had to be empty. Why did they have to be empty? So that the oil could go into all of them. Those old jars, they might have been filled with a lot of other junk and yuck and whatever. But God said, get you some empty vessels. Make sure they're empty. Empty is the key word here, because if you remember the story, when the emptiness stopped, are you with me in the story? Are you there? It's just covered with vessels up here, pots full of oil. And the pots were all full. And when all the pots got full, what happened? The oil stopped. There was no more oil. Now, let me tell you about you, and let me tell you about me. If we get to a point where we are not empty, where we are not empty to allow God to fill us, the oil's going to stop. Who wants that? God is the God of every provisions. He's a Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. But he's got to have some empty vessels to fill. You say, well, I've felt empty before. I have felt empty. You have felt empty. But spiritually, maybe we haven't felt empty enough. Our vessel has things in it that shouldn't be there. We're kind of running on empty. It's a play on words. But we're not empty. So because of that, we get confused. We get out of sorts. Some drop out of church. Some quit praying. Some quit reading their Bible. Some have never started reading their Bible. What a mess. Oh me. Not empty enough. You're going to be at your best. Remember, you're saved, right? You're saved. You've given your heart to Christ. You want to be at your best and you want to be a servant of the Lord. To do that, you've got to be empty. When you are empty, you're first emptied of sin, known sin in your life. Isaiah 59, that sin is not confessed. It's a barrier. It will not allow you to know God's word and his way for your life. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. You've got to be emptied of self. Have you ever known anyone, seen anyone that's big on himself or herself? You got to be emptied of self. Well, remember George Mueller, the great man of prayer? He was often asked about his great prayer life. Here's what he once said. There was a day when I died. Think with me. There was a day, George Mueller said, there was a day when I died. I died to George Mueller. This is where you need to be. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord and fulfill your calling, what God has called you to do, whatever that might be, you got to be like this. I've got to be like this. It's real plain. I died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his tastes, his will. I died to the world and its approval. I died to the world and its approval. I died to the approval of my friends. And since then, I've studied only to be approved unto God. You're empty of sin. You're empty of self. Nothing else matters in your life but the glory of God, that He be praised in and through your life. That's a challenge for today, the Old Testament miracle. Well, what happens when you're emptied of self? John 7:17 says, you're filled with spiritual understanding. Oh, please, 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 please. I've had people tell me, well, I don't read the Bible because it's so complicated. Give me a break. This is not a complicated book. You know what that man's problem was? He wasn't reading the Bible. Well, how often are you reading the Bible? Well, I don't read it. I told you it's complicated. Lord have mercy. Secretary, is my next appointment out there? You're filled with spiritual understanding when you read the word, when you're emptied of sin, you're right with God in every person, and you're emptied of self. I love the first words of Purpose-Driven Life, that wonderful bestseller that Rick Warren wrote. You remember the first, have you read that book? The pastor's wife says, it's not about you. Well, let me tell you what, I'll never be invited back. Those men that met and decided to ask me, it is not about you. It is not about you. I'm just telling you. Now, the dear sweet pastor, Brother KD, Dr. KD, he's not going to tell you that. But when you come up and you're griping about this or that the carpet was dirty back by the door and this and that, he's going to think, honey, he's not thinking of it. You're his honey. So, ma'am, it's not about you. Pine Hill Baptist Church is not about you. Now, God has placed this church here and these dear, dear people for you, but everything doesn't focus and circle around you. Did I say that the way you asked me to say it, Brother Carey? Good. I want to please the pastor. Well, we got to be emptied of substitutes. God's will. God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, very reverent. Our pastor's coming to lead us.
Take a moment. Head bowed, eyes closed. Just take a moment to reflect on what Brother Rich has shared with us about service, about how God wants to use us, how He wants to use each and every person that's here. But it's time that we want to reflect on self, reflect on our individual lives, what we're doing to serve the Lord, how He's using us, and are we responding to the call that He's given us? Can He use us? Are we making ourselves available for Him? And it's very, very focused. God called us into Christianity. He's called us to be with Him. He's called us to serve. He's called us to share the gospel, to tell people about Him, to expand His kingdom. What an awesome opportunity it is. Just an awesome time that we can come together to be servants for the Lord. I just want to just take a moment just to do self-evaluation. And if you don't know the Lord, there's no better time than right now to come to know the Lord. He wants you. He wants your relationship with you. He wants you to be with Him. And He wants to provide you with eternal life when you leave this planet. And He wants to have fellowship with you. Let me just say, it's very simple. God did not make it complicated. He didn't make it hard on us to make it. We had to check so many boxes or attend so many classes or make so many church appearances to be saved. He basically said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He made it very simple. If you turn your life over to Him, if you invite Him in through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's just and He will come inside. There's no delay. I mean, it's right then. When you invite the Lord into your heart, He moves in and He sets up shop. He becomes your Lord and He becomes your Savior. And it's exactly what He wants you to do this morning. I'm going to share with you, if you've never made Him the Lord of your life, I invite you to do that. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. We'll all stand. And if it's a time when you say that, I'm ready to invite Him in, but I just don't know how. You certainly come down. Myself, Brother Rich, we'll be here with you. Our deacons are here with you. We'd love to lead you to the Lord. He made it very simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just that simple. You invite Him in, He changes your heart, He changes your life, and you're a born-again believer. And that's the most awesome thing that could ever happen. Also, if you're here today and you're just looking for a church home, maybe you want to get plugged into this church. This is the sweetest church you'll ever come to find. And it's a loving, serving church. And we'd love to have you be part and get plugged into this church. Maybe there's others. Maybe there's some things that are weighing heavy on your heart. You want to take them to the altar. You want to lay them at the foot of the cross. You want a little support. Our deacons are here to pray with you as well. And we'd love to share with you, lift it up with you, whatever the issue. I'm going to invite our Brother Wesley to come on up, and the band to come on up, and we're going to have a hymn of invitation now. I'm going to pray with you, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation. And whatever decision that God has laid on your heart, this is where you want to take that opportunity. The invitation is not just something we add on the end. It is a time of reflection. It's a time of you to be one-on-one conversation with our Heavenly Father. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, God. God, I thank you for the word that's been spread and been broken and the word we've heard this morning about how much you love us, God, how much you want us to serve you, and how much you want to have a relationship with us. And God, I just pray if there's one person that's sound in my voice that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this day would be the day that they would come to know you. Father, for others in our congregation, God, for the need, the struggle, the things that take place, God, I just pray that you would move in the lives of our time together right now, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit would fill this sanctuary like never before. God, we want to hear from you this morning. We want to feel your presence. God, we thank you. We lift up your name, and it's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand, please, and let's turn to 317. 317.
We trust.
If you rejoice with me in their decision to become part of the family of this church, can I get a hearty amen?
Amen.
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 Nothing better. So I'm going to have Jeffrey and CJ stand over this way at this door because I imagine 95% of y'all are out this door. All right? And I want you to make sure you love them and welcome them to the church with this one. I also want my brother Rich to stand over here as well. And then you speak to him as you go by and then we'll get over and get some spiritual food. We already got spiritual food. We're going to give up physical food. We still got spiritual food. Amen. Y'all okay with that? All right. I just want to say one thing about Brother Rick. He wasn't the first choice. I didn't tell him that.
I told him that.
Tony Evans was the first choice. But we got Brother Rick.
I'm sorry. We got a better one.
You ready to get to the food? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beacon of light that this church stands for in this community, Lord. Lord, we love the outreach and the love that this church feels. Lord, we appreciate Brother Kinsel's message here today. Lord, just help us to take it in and then share that message with our community, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to be with those names that were mentioned here today. Just lay that comforting and healing hand upon them, Lord. As we go into our homecoming meal, we just ask you to bless this meal to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. In your name we pray. Amen.